Montucky Skies.
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Brandon.
I'm Biggs.
And I'm Adrian! Ah!
That's right. I had to edit that, but I was trying to not edit. Thanks again, Adrian. You're
quite welcome there, sir.
My wife will thank you at 2 in the morning. I'm just going to fire this out about the thing that I'm the most excited about. Simpsons officially... Springfield is in Oregon. Now, they said, I mean, it's not necessarily from Oregon, but that's where he pulled the name from and realized that there was a Springfield in every state in the United States. I've been saying this for years, like years upon years.
He was saying that it is actually Springfield, Oregon, and that Shelbyville is Eugene.
That's not what he.
That is what I listened to him. I listened to him on the computer doing his interview.
I guess I read a transcript. Maybe I didn't read the whole thing. But what I heard was he pulled the name Springfield because he used to live in Springfield, and he realized that every state in the United States had a Springfield. So I mean, that was the joke for a long time. Yeah. Was that
Springfield?
You couldn't tell where the hell it's
so
from.
Many episodes.
And there's so much more. I mean, like, if you knew going into this how many things he named from locations around, you would realize Springfield was Oregon. I mean, like, well, what street do they live on? Do you guys know?
Evergreen.
Right, Evergreen.
Evergreen Terrace.
Evergreen Terrace. Evergreen is where he went to college, which is an Olympia college. Like, they're really big on The Simpsons because Matt Groening went there. Like, that's where the college is, Evergreen. Terrace is a street that leads up to Evergreen. Like, half of the names of the characters in The Simpsons are streets in the Portland. Bart is rearranged the letters Brat because he was a brat when he was a kid. His sister's name is Lisa. His mom's name is Marge. His dad's name is Homer. So when you look at all this stuff... Yeah, I mean, I was listening to a podcast the other day where they were saying, like, he basically named everybody, like, he was Sizer Kozet. How do you say it? Kaiser Soze. Thank you. And The Usual Suspects. He's just looking around the room and he's like, he's Homer. He's seeing his dad. And yeah, I mean, so anyway, but they kind of commemorated it on the show a little bit last night. They had some kind of joke I don't remember about Oregon. It said, welcome to Springfield. If you're in Oregon, then you're home or something like that. And then on the chalkboard, they mentioned that Springfield was in Oregon. And then they didn't mention it again. they mentioned it in the credits twice. I felt vindicated. 23 years I've been saying this crap. I finally feel vindicated. You guys got nothing to add whatsoever.
I just don't care that much. Well, I mean, I had watched a lot of those.
That's interesting, but...
Watched a lot of The Simpsons. They had, like, some documentaries on it. They had the one a couple years ago that the guy from Super Size Me
Oregon Spurlock. Yeah.
And they were showing, like, the school in Portland that basically the Springfield Elementary is based on. Like, if you had to, like, draw the school and then colorize it, it'd be Springfield Elementary.
Like the exterior, right?
Yeah.
The interior changes pretty much every episode. Like, I've heard the showrunners on... I'm such a nerd, dude. I buy almost every season that's come out, I've bought. Like, I think I missed the last two, but I'll get to it eventually. Then I listen to... I watch every episode, then I watch, like, every commentary. Like, I watch... Like, I'm such a Simpsons nerd. And the showrunners were saying when the first couple of seasons of the show... The dimensions of all the buildings and the houses and stuff, like, stayed the same because they wanted it to be realistic. And then at a certain point, like, they decided they didn't care anymore. Like, they just moved it to whatever worked for the joke. So, like, there's even one episode where, like, Homer goes to work and, like, he drives around this big thing, and like he parks, and he can see like his doorway from where he parks at the power plant, because the edge of the parking lot is right next door to his house. Like, which is supposed to be Flanders' house, but for the joke, it works. You know?
I remember that episode that was so big. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And that's just how the Simpsons world works now. It's pretty much anything goes. But
and you buy into it when you're watching it, because you automatically, your mind says it's okay,
well, and you don't care.
Really care.
Yeah,
like, yeah. So I don't know why the joke's funny there. I don't know why I don't think about that stuff with cartoons and I do with real life, because I kind of do. Like when we were watching all the Cheers. Like, me and my wife watch every episode of Cheers over the course of about 3 months on Netflix. And every time they added a set, I made note of it. Like, I would proclaim it loudly, and then I would notice, like, it showed up all the time. When the show first started, they had two rooms, and that was it. They had the bar, they had the pool room, they had nothing else. Anytime, like, Sam went to, like, even, like, yell at his employees, he did it in the pool room. And then, like, right towards...
there's the office.
I think it was either at the end of the first season or the beginning of the second season, they built his office. Uh-oh. So they built his office in the second season, and then they do that. Then at a certain point, they build Diane's, like, apartment, and they use that over and over again. And then once, around the time Diane leaves the show, you could tell they redecorated it for Rebecca. And then they use it for other people. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, they just... Every time they built the set, I was like, wow. And then you could tell somewhere around the 9th or 10th season, they just didn't care about the bar as much anymore. Like, then you get all the episodes where they go away from the bar all the time. Because that was really the season where they're just like, you know what, we can go anywhere because... They're probably bored, and they're like, "Yeah, let's. How many more stories can we tell out of a bar? Let's have a Norm Brews beer. Yeah, Norm Brews beer. We'll go to a beer manufacturer and drink beer." But it's that weird thing, man. When I see it on a live action show, I notice it. When I see it in a cartoon, I don't even really think about it. You know, like I can picture the Simpsons living room in my head. But I also know that it changes constantly. Sometimes there's stairs behind the couch. Sometimes there's not. The TV has stayed the same.
The TV, the couch, and the picture on the wall.
Yeah.
The sailboat.
The TV does not look good. That's a terrible TV.
Well,
dude.
Until they went to the high-definition Simpsons, and then they got the high-definition TV.
Did they? I thought they were still using the same crappy TV.
No, I thought that, because I know they, well, you know, I don't know since, but I remember them making a big deal of the high-definition TV.
Oh. Yeah, maybe. I don't even, that's the only thing I take for granted might not even be true anymore. Okay, so I'm gonna, did you guys hear about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes, I did, and Axel. What a douche, huh?
That was a douche move.
Yeah, it's pretty much exact. Like, this is the reason why I don't like Guns N' Roses. It's completely Axl Rose, dude. I get a visceral reaction in my stomach even hearing their music because I can't separate him. I'm sorry, dude. I can't separate him from his music. And quite frankly, his voice is terrible. The fact that he's known as a great frontman is ridiculous. He loathes his fan and he loathes his band. Like, how can you like this guy?
You don't like Axl. You like Guns N' Roses. That's the thing. When people,
can't separate them, dude. He's
a
front man.
Because Guns N' Roses is an awesome. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, awesome albums. They're just.
All right, let me put it this way. Who was the only member of Guns N' Roses who's on Chinese Democracy, their last album? It was just Axl Rose.
Oh, I thought you meant other than Axl Rose. It's because he owns the rights to the name Guns N' Roses.
Right, but that's my point. How do you even not separate them?
Because there is no Guns N' Roses after Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Everything else is just Axl Rose. Guns N' Roses only made, what, four, because 1 and 2. 4 albums.
I hate him, dude. His voice just, like, grates on me anyway. It always has, even when I was a kid.
Just so that you know, from now on, after Use Your Illusion 2, there was no Guns. There is no Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, fair enough. I never believed that there was.
It's
just anyway.
it's like trying to say that Slash's Snake Pit is Guns N' Roses.
Well, he never claimed it was. Axl is the only one with the cojones to do that. And I'll be honest, dude, I never liked his voice. I never liked Axl Rose as a person. But basically, when I felt okay with that move, when I felt like it was okay to, like, feel the way I did about Axl, was, like, I'm a big Queen fan, and when I found out about what went on before Freddie Mercury died and after he died, it just solidified that, like...
What do you mean? What happened?
I was getting into that.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to drop it. Which, since we're talking about this, Axl Rose refused to show up. Everybody else from Guns N' Roses showed up.
Who sang for them?
Oh, I don't remember now. I don't remember. I don't remember. I can't even speculate. But anyway,
Paul
so
Rogers.
When Freddie Mercury...
He sings for everybody else.
That's the guy who sings for Queen.
Yeah. Dude, that's Steven Tyler was
a good
one,
dude. That was a good Steve K. Anyway, so right before Freddie Mercury died, Axl Rose talked about how he used the F term towards gay people. We got some kids running around in here, something like that. But he basically inferred that, like, he thought that they were all going to rot in hell and could care less about all of them. And then Freddie Mercury died. And he made nice and said, like, Freddie Mercury is, like, an amazing singer, great frontman, like, blah, blah, blah. And then so he did Freddie Mercury's tribute concert with Elton John. They sang Bohemian Rhapsody. Then afterwards, he started, like, somebody was talking, so have you changed your stance? And he was like, no, effing, kids here. I can't quote what Axl Rose said, but he basically took his opinion and made it stronger and, like, directed it right at Elton John, who sang with him, and Freddie Mercury, whose tribute he had just done. So literally, like, this dude's hardly even cold in the grave. He sings it as tribute, and then he goes around in the press because he doesn't want anybody to think that he's gay, and, like, just starts ripping on him again. And I'm like, how do you even like this guy? Like, that happened in, like, 89. And I thought he was a D-bag before that, but that just solidified, like, it's okay to think he's one of the worst human beings who's ever been a front man. Because he is, man. He's just a terrible person.
Guns N' Roses is a great band, though.
Look, I'm not going to speak ill of anybody else in that band, but when I hear Guns N' Roses, I hear Axl Rose going, yeah! And it's not pleasant, so I don't like listening to him.
I think that if you took, and I keep using this because there's a difference between Appetite for Destruction and GNR Lies and the last two albums. If you take those last two albums and take Axl's voice out of it, beautiful music.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go down on record. If you take him out, take his voice out
of anything,
Guns N' Roses song, that's not maybe Chinese Democracy, I'm probably going to find it beautiful music. Like, I actually like Slash. I like Slash the Snake Pit. I like him in interviews. Like, I don't really know the other guys in Guns N' Roses that well, so I won't talk about them. But I like Slash. I got no qualms with him whatsoever, but I can't separate Axl from that band. He's too integral of a part. It's not like a bass player that nobody ever pays attention to. The guy is front and center.
Duff's now in Jane's Addiction. People pay attention to him now. No, it's just do what it is. It's because Axl is what you were just talking about. He is Axl. That's what he's gonna be. It's what he can't change him. It's what he's always gonna be.
That's how you know somebody's really.
But
awful
Slash,
too.
Slash,
yeah, Axl's Axl.
Slash is a genuinely cool dude.
Yeah,
you want to hang
that.
Out with you don't.
No, I would love to hang out with Slash. I wouldn't even talk about Guns N' Roses around Slash though.
No,
because you know
you'd be like, so tell me about Slash or Snake Pit.
I'd be like, so Axl Rose, kind of a D-bag, right? I'm sure he would want to jump off at that point, right? He clearly doesn't like him, you know, but who else got in the Hall of Fame? Chili Peppers, Beastie Boys,
Beastie Boys is
a bunch of fans I've never heard of. Yeah, and that's the real tragedy of all this is Axl Rose found a way to, like, upstage everybody else.
And there were some good good stuff.
Though. Yeah, Chili Peppers, dude, they did two albums that were perfect as far as I'm concerned. There's not a note I would change on Blood Sugar Sex Magik. There's not a note I would change on Californication. Those are like perfect albums. Yeah. You're not a fan?
Oh, I am a fan. Just not. I stopped liking them at Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
I like California.
You didn't listen to Californication?
I've listened to it on my.
I like the first.
It doesn't.
You're like, no. You don't understand me. I really don't like
it's
it.
It's two different. It's two different styles of music.
It's completely different. It's I like it.
If you listen to Freaky Styley or Uplift Mofo Party Plan,
terrible albums.
Mother's Milk.
Terrible album.
Excellent.
Mother's Milk is the best album. I'm sorry. I'm going to get flamed for this, but Mother's Milk is the most overrated Guns N' Roses.
Hey. Ah! I will get you there.
That's the most overrated Chili Peppers album. It's not. What's even a good song on it, really? You can't even think of one.
I have it in my CD player right now.
I have it too, but there's not. I don't listen to it.
Knock Me Down is a great song on there. Sexy Mexican Maid is a great song.
Anything off of Californication.
Magic Johnson is a great song.
No, it's not. Yes, it's about the Lakers. It's completely about the Lakers. In fact, they're from LA. In fact, if I'm to dip into my psyche a little bit, that might be why I hate the album so much, as I thought about that right away. And I like Magic Johnson, but I don't want to hear about him and Byron Scott and all that.
L.A. Lakers, Fast Break Makers.
Mm-hmm. And Freaky Styley's is a terrible album. I mean, can we at least agree on that? It's not good.
It's not terrible.
It's not good.
That is what the Chili Peppers were.
It is what it is, and it is a terrible album.
That is what they were. And I don't like what they became. I don't like what they became.
See, I do like
if what I they hear became. That song Under the Bridge ever again, it'll be way too many times in my life.
It's a good song. At least it was about something.
About heroin. I would. Yeah. You're up talking a song about heroin and mad about a song about the Lakers.
Yeah. one comes from a place where it's really about something, and the other is like Showtime, like in the '80s. It's not. Give me a break, dude.
They're like Green Day. Blah.
I like Green
Day. I know. I had a feeling. Oh my gosh.
I used to like Green Day.
I liked American Idiot. It was actually pretty good.
Oh, I hated that.
Everything between American Idiot and Nimrod is terrible, though.
Nimrod's a great album.
I like Nimrod.
Right. No, I like Nimrod, too. Everything that came between Nimrod and American Idiot is garbage.
I think everything after Nimrod's crap.
So we disagree on one album. Big deal.
They got a new one coming out.
Well, I haven't heard it, neither of you. So.
I won't.
Anyway, I don't want it. We always bring up these Hall of Fame things. We need to celebrate the people winning the Hall of Fame, not just tear down.
Who else made
so
it?
So far, we're tearing down every single person.
Beastie Boys. You can't say nothing wrong about them.
Beastie Boys are great.
Remember when
they're on the Futurama? And Futurama.
They're on the television.
Yeah, they're all heads and fries like, you guys were my favorite band before I got frozen in 2000. I had all 7 of your albums. And he's like, hey, we've been around for another 200 years. Or was it 400 years?
1,000 years.
Yeah. We've been around for another 1,000 years. We've done tons of recordings. He's like, oh, really? How many albums you got now? And he's like, 11.
they're known for taking their time. They don't put out anything that they haven't thought very well. And they put out stuff. They put out like 20 songs on a CD.
And I'm not like an aficionado of the Beastie Boys, but I will say I haven't heard like a bad Beastie Boys album. And I've probably heard them all. I mean, I don't know if there's some underground
stuff. I can't
think
of anything.
Their first album, I'm not as into as I used to be when I was a kid. Because it does sound a little dated, but it was a good album.
Well, then you have to think the next one is Paul's Boutique.
Yeah.
And that's excellent album. Classic, excellent. Dude. I remember when
favorite is
License to Ill.
Yeah. License to Ill, dude. I love that album.
The when I was in high school, as a junior or a senior, that's when Check Your Head came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to rock that album every day before, during, and after school. All the time. We go down to the skate park and skate, and that would just be rocking all the time. That and Slayer, Seasons of the Abyss.
What albums did we do that with in high school? It seemed like Downward Spiral. From the second you bought that, it seemed like we were always listening to that album.
Yeah, I love that album. I could still listen to that album.
Broken was another one. That was actually one I wanted to get into. Is that I watched Cabin in the Woods, and it ended on a song from Broken. It wasn't even like one of the singles or anything. It was last, but I started listening to that, and I was like, I refused to leave the theater, and Amanda's like, well, you think there's going to be more at the end? I'm like, no, I love this song, and I just stayed, and then I like popped it in, and I've listened to it like 7 times since I saw the movie on Friday. Yes. But I love Broken, dude. I forgot how much I love that album. I just kind of shelved it and not listened to it.
I caught myself in a music quandary today. So I was driving around, and kids pulled up like in their truck. They had some girls with them or whatever, and they're all and they're blaring this new metal music, and it's like,
he did air quotes.
Air quotes, new metal. Air quotes.
And he spelled new N-U.
N-U.
Right.
N-U with 2 dots over the U.
The Uber.
That actually does sound like it would be some sort of metal, dude.
And
someone's knocking at my door, and I don't know who.
But we're going to take a quick pause here. Okay, so sorry. We're getting downloading the kids. So let me just say, fuck shit, cunt, piss, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Wait, that's all
I like
I got.
How you started with the Carlin 7.
I know. Well, that's always where I go, dude. The 7 words you can't tell on television. Oh, piss. Was that one?
Shit, piss, fuck, cocksucker, motherfucker. Tits.
That's right.
Queef. Tits shouldn't even be on the list.
All right, so new metal.
I gotta take my hat off for this one. The so I pull up to this, and there's a loud music playing, and there's a dude in the car driving.
What kind of music?
Finger quotes, new and you double dots metal finger all right, quotes. All right. And it, you know, the kind where they're screaming and and I'm like, these kids, man, and their damn music.
Get off my lawn!
Get off my lawn!
So I'm like, this is that's not even music. and there's no, I'm speaking in my mind. There's no one in my car but Araya, and I'm not talking to her. I'm in my head. I'm like, this is so stupid. And they pull off. I'm like, geez, thank God. Then I reach over and put my Deftone CD in. It's like, this is music. It's the same thing. I just don't like it because they were kids. You know, they were,
I had like an old moment last night because we were watching the HBO show Girls. It just went on TV. It was a pretty good show. Like it seemed like all the characters were like early 20s, like, and they were legitimately in their early 20s. It wasn't like people who were like 30 pretending to be. And it really reminded me of what it was like to be like 23, 24. But then at the same time, like, I was sitting there talking to my wife, and I'm like, you know, this really feels like what it's like to be a young person. Like, I kind of like watching these young people run around on this show. And then I was like, I kept thinking about it the rest of the show. I can't believe I just said that. And then I told my wife, like, I don't want to watch anymore. She's like, I thought you liked it. I was like, you know, I said young people, and I just never want to do that again.
I said the phrase to-do, that they were having some to-do over there at work the other day. And this old lady says, you're like 80?
Well, what really sucks is when you get that reaction, like, okay, let me tell you specifically what. About 2 weeks ago, I was in my car, and this, and I got my headphones on because I'm listening to my iPod, and sometimes I have it in the car, but when I have the windows unrolled, I don't want to, like, I never know who I'm driving up against, so I'm actually considerate and have my headphones on because, like, I listen to some vulgar stuff, you know, and I'm just like, I don't want to, like, disturb families or whatever, so I have my window down. It's like a warm day. And I'm sitting there, like, listening to some vulgar podcast. And this truck that's, like it was all jacked up and stuff. And it comes up next to me. And it's these two high schoolers. And they're kind of yelling something. Like, what the hell's going on? So I finally pause it. And I hear them scream, like, hey, you dumb asshole. Like, over and over again. So I kind of drop the headphones and look over. And they just sort of, they pretend like they're not looking at me for a second. I'm like, okay. And then, like, this dude takes this giant soda and just throws it down on the ground. And it splashes up, like, onto my car. And I'm sitting there looking at him, like, my reaction, like, honestly, I had that flash where you just forget all logic, and I wanted to, like, swing open my door and, like, hit the side of his truck because I know he spent a bunch of money detailing it, and just, like, yell at the dude and pull him out by his collar and just beat the living, shit out of him on the road. And honestly, I never thought about like this when I was younger either. It's something since I've had a family, like, my anger just starts to rise at stuff like this. But, like, I really got that urge, and if it had been, like, you know, like 7 or 8 years ago, I might have acted on it if I felt that angry all of a sudden. But, like, I'm sitting there, like I get that flash, and then instantly in the rearview mirror, I see my daughter, and I'm just like, I can't do anything. I just have to sit here and, like, suffer it. I can't even say nothing to him because it'll make the situation worse. Yeah. And it was just, like, the most deballing thing. You just feel so old, and, like, you can't do anything about it. Like, at least when you're young and single, you can at least make them think you're going to do something about it. But they knew there was a kid in the back. They knew I wasn't going to do nothing about it. And they're probably looking like, look at this older dude. We're going to screw with him.
So you remember playing truck ball back in the day?
Yeah, I do. That's funny you should say that. You want to explain truck ball really quick?
Okay, truck ball is when you're driving around, you get a 12-pack of soda. Driving around town, just... Back when you used to drive around town because gas was cheap.
Right.
Now you're like, God, I got to go to the store, but it's going to cost me $6. Anyways, I'm feeling old already.
And it didn't have to be soda. It could be any garbage, really.
Yeah, it was just really soda. It worked well.
Yeah.
And you'd see the back of an empty pickup truck, and you'd crush the can, try and play basketball as you're driving by, try and get the back of the truck.
I was really good at truck ball.
I got the assist. I was driving.
Yeah.
You know what we used to do?
Well, this is the thing. I almost got the when it ended was when I almost got the crap beaten out of me.
So we're out in the country. We're going up to his friend's house. And
we were going to the glorified trailer park, remember?
Yeah.
I can't even think of the name of that place anymore. I haven't been there so long, but.
Anyway, we were driving. Alex makes a sweet shot. Didn't notice the guy sitting in the back of the truck. So suddenly I'm looking in the mirror and this big truck pulls out behind. I have a little like Honda.
It's the same truck I bet you're driving right now, right?
No, it was the Honda.
Oh, this is before... Okay, this is before your truck.
Yeah.
All right.
So I see this big truck come out behind us. I mean, just wails. And I'm like, they followed us for 5 miles. Yelling, screaming, God knows what.
Yeah, I'm finally like, pull over, dude. And like, we had a whole car full of people too. But I think it was like our girlfriends and like... Some dude who wasn't going to fight. Like, none of us are going to fight, you know what I mean? But some, like, pull over. And I was just ready to take my whipping. And I come walking backwards, and this dude runs up. And he's like, what the fuck are you throwing pop cans in my truck for? And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. He's like, what do you mean, threw it in my truck? I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, I just threw it out the window, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, all right. He gets back in his truck and drives off, dude. And older Alex, thinking about this now, like right now, I think he probably saw me and saw I was like a high school kid and did the calculation like, I'm going to go to jail if I hit him in the face. So I made my point. I scared the crap out of him. He was probably in the same kind of situation I was at. I mean, that's an excellent point, dude.
Reverse.
It's an excellent point.
Circle of life.
And I wasn't trying to make it mean like these kids are the root of all evil, and I'm not. Especially in lieu of this. But it does make me feel really old, you know?
Did I ever tell you, like, three things that we used to do when I was a kid that, like, in high school years that we thought was hilarious that I would think is asinine now if I saw kids doing it? It was, like, at school.
I love that you even used asinine. This makes us feel so much older.
We would walk up to someone and go, hey, pop, and then hit you right in the nuts. Like, get your attention.
Oh, you were one of those guys.
Or we would walk up behind you and we get bow down and clap our hands to scare you, like audibly scare you, and come up right between your legs and lift you up off the ground. And we thought that that was hilarious. I mean, it happened to me too.
Gary used to do credit cards all the time. Take like a karate style hand and just smack it in your butt crack and slide it out and go, credit card. And then I remember in football and stuff, I remember first getting this in football, but people used to do it in high school all the time, especially bullies. Like, you would have one person would kneel down on all fours and right behind the person. Yeah. And that's then somebody come up and talk to you and just poof, like shove you in the chest.
The second thing would be, we would all go out to strip. Or, because I'm from Las Vegas, we'd all go out to the strip, or we'd go to the Forum Shops Mall.
When you first said that, I thought you were going to say strip club.
No. And we'd be walking through there, and one of us, we would make eye contact with some patron across the mall. Just make eye contact with them, and then start walking directly toward them. And just keep all the way across the mall. Just keep an eye contact with them, and never moving and walking directly toward them. And get to within inches of their face, and then just go around them like you were looking at something behind them. And then the third thing that we did, which was the stupidest thing, I mean, we could have really got hurt, was the we would take my friend Jody, and we would, maybe I told you guys about this on the show even, we would prepare him, if you will, and set him on fire in public situations.
That reminds me of Dan with his non-feeling hand. So how would you light him on fire?
Well, what we would do is we would go over to my friend's house, my friend Jeff's house. He lived in an apartment complex that was it abutted a major four-lane street or avenue or boulevard or whatever you call it, and my friend Jody had he was the only one of us at the time that had a vehicle. He had a Bronco 2, which is like a miniature Ford Bronco. And what we would do, because he would allow us to, because he was not the brightest person in the box.
Brightest crayon in the box.
Brightest anything in anything.
Sharp as a spoon.
he would let us do that. So we would, and to this day, he says he doesn't remember doing any of this, but we did it 20 times. So what we would do is we'd raise the hood on his truck. He'd park on the street. We'd raise the hood on his truck, and we would take and put on an extra pair of jeans on him and like an old beat-up flannel that we just got from the thrift store or something like that, and we'd button it up all the way and everything, and we'd take – I don't know what – this puzzles me to this day. I don't know what we thought we were doing. We swore that we were being safe by putting Vaseline on his hands and around his neck because the fire wouldn't burn, not thinking that it's petroleum jelly, right? You know, so we thought that he wouldn't burn or anything like that. So, you know, and so at the time, as far as we knew, he was safe up to about halfway up his neck, and then there was nothing protecting his head or his face or anything like that. And so what we would do is we would sit back there behind the hood of the car, and we would spray him down with hairspray. Just spray him down with hairspray. His legs, his shirt, everything. We'd spray him down. And then we wait, and we see a car coming, and then we would time it. And then a car would come by right before it got to his vision. We'd light him on fire and push him out into the road like he was working on the car and caught on fire doing something. And it used to freak people out. No. No one ever stopped.
They just drove faster.
They just kept driving. They just kept driving. No one ever stopped. And I remember, too, like, scary part. We never had a fire extinguisher next to us.
Of course not.
We would just push them off into the grass and roll them around and try to get it out that way. Which kind of works sometimes. Sometimes it did. Sometimes he'd get up and running around and still be on fire and stuff. But it was funny because we thought, oh no, this is fine. Another layer of denim is going to protect. It's going to protect. And now that I've been burned, that freaks me out looking back in hindsight what could have happened there.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, I get it, man.
Did you see on the Facebook I forwarded you a photo of a hand?
The black one.
Yeah. What, was that today?
No, it's been a couple days now. Oh. This new thing, this is kind of pop culture, so I'll bring it up.
Okay.
It's a picture of a hand that's tattooed solid black, and then it kind of dribbles down these little bubbles on the knuckles down to the fingers. I wouldn't do it, but, you know, it's kind of artsy, I guess, if you were into that kind of tattooing. Then it has this big flower on it that, to me, I thought was a brand, because where the skin is all black from tattooing, the flower is flesh, like bloody flesh. I was like, oh, man, that sucks, because I know what it's like to be burned. I couldn't imagine doing it for vanity. You know, that's yeah. insane. Ugh. Then I find out it's not a burn, that this guy would go into this tattoo shop every day and they would take an X-Acto knife and follow along the design and peel a couple of layers of skin off every day until they get down to the depth that he wants it to be. I just could not believe that. Could you imagine like making that conscious decision to do something like that to yourself?
No, I can't. I couldn't even. I remember.
I went to school at the Capitol. Before I ever got my ears pierced.
Yeah, I remember going.
I had a hard time with that. I almost threw up.
Really?
Oh, I'll get tattooed all
friend,
day.
You
long.
Had a friend do it, didn't you?
No, I got it at Craig's tattoo shop.
Maybe that's why. I'll get tattooed. I got a gun and Claire's. But yeah, it's like.
I'll get tattooed all day long. Piercing.
That sounds so. So gay when I think about that now. Yeah, I got an earring in Claire's when I was 15.
It was silver and a loop, a hoop. Some people call it a loop.
No, I didn't get the.
You got a loop?
No, I got a stud.
A stud.
I got a stud. No, it was really bad too because I got. They gave me like the jewel one or whatever, but I was like, no, and I got like a hand or no, I got a kitchen sink that stuck out and put it on. And then a friend of mine, Well, yeah, I got the eye later. Jake Stevenson. Yeah, he gave me an eye. And then I remember trading one of the sinks for a hand. And so I had all these crazy earrings I would wear for like the 2 months I had the earring. And then at work, they used to tell you that like, they were like, like if you won't take out your earrings, like, you gotta wear a Band-Aid over it. And so I kept wearing a Band-Aid over it, and then they were finally like, no, you just got to take it out, because I didn't think I'd actually do it, and I took it out in the hole closed, like, immediately. By the very next day, I couldn't get the...
Mine were big enough to where I still have a hole. I haven't worn them in... How long have I been back? We've been married for 6 years. I've been back for 5 years. I took them out 5 years ago to get a job. I never put them back in, but I still have a hole.
Yeah, I don't even... It seemed like a thing to do at the time. I could care less now. It seemed like tattoos. People are always asking me about tattoos and stuff, and you guys are tatted up somewhat. Not to the extent that Gay Gary is, but Gay Gary's not even close to the extent of some people I know. But I never seen anything I wanted bad enough to put on my flesh. Like, I always feel like that's something, I take it real seriously, like, this is going to be on me forever. And so I never do like that. The one thing I was going to do.
That's
was
the
like,
first one.
What's that?
That's the first one.
And then you just don't care anymore.
After that, you care a lot less. you still think about it because you're going
to
have it.
You just get an idea or something that means a lot to you. And it's not like, about what it looks
I've
like. It's about what
I pretty
it means
much
to.
Hit the point where I realized, like, I'm just not going to do it because I don't care anymore. I used to care. And I was like, my whole thing was like, if I want it for 5 years, I'll tattoo it and stuff. And now
like
I'm just like.
A name or something like that.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Your daughter's name over your heart?
I don't want to.
You're scared.
I'm not scared. I just don't want to.
You got your ears pierced at Claire's, but you can't get your daughter's name on your chest.
I don't want my daughter's name on my chest. I got moves, dude. And those moves are going to increase or decrease in size and ruin the way the tattoo
looks. It will
not
do that.
I don't care enough to get anything
I've slowly
tattooed.
Gotten pretty fat myself, but none of mine, all of mine on my chest are fine.
All I'm saying is I'm just keeping my options open for white collar work someday.
I'm getting a new tattoo here pretty soon. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad we brought this up because I was going to say, just for shits and giggles, I'm not going to have a contest to see what I'm going to get, but any, if you have any ideas, what it has to be, it has to either include,
I think you should, all right, go ahead.
It has to either include my baby son's initials.
What's your baby son's initials again?
PWH.
Okay.
Or his name, Perry. It doesn't have to be like something that Periwinkle or nothing like that. It can just be like the initials with some kind of background or something to it. I'm trying to think of how I want to do it. I have PWH on the back of my arm already from my grandfather. I was thinking if I could just include that and make it as part for the for my son as well. And just have a big spider web on my elbow.
I would do a trailblazer symbol. Take your team seriously. And then you can put
I don't
it,
even have a Braves.
You can put it in the
I am getting
the
Braves
suit.
A. I am going to get a Braves A, though.
You should put it on, like, on your forehead so you don't even need to wear hats anymore.
I'll be like the friendly Charles Manson.
Right.
So I don't have to wear a hat anymore.
He's got that.
You got a 23 right here.
Hey, speaking of being all tatted up, did you guys hear that that Machete Kills is gonna start filming here in like
they're making a sequel?
Yeah, remember at the end of Machete they said Machete will return in Machete Kills. Well, they're making Machete Kills. It starts filming in a couple of weeks. Apparently Robert Rodriguez hasn't finished casting the movies yet, and he's pushing really hard to get Michelle Williams, which, I don't know, maybe. And Mel Gibson.
Oh, if he does that, that's the end.
I know what he's going to do if he tries to get Mel Gibson, but I just don't want to pay for a movie that Mel Gibson is in. But you saw the Beaver movie, so you probably don't have a problem with that. They're going to make him the villain. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it, dude. Like,
he's
got to
be.
Yeah. They showed a picture of Mel Gibson, and I don't know the context of the picture, but he has this, like, beard that comes out, like, almost a foot from his face, and it's got this shocking white in the middle of it. And I was like, he looks so insane in that picture. It's probably for a role, but still. If he wore that Machete
Kills. You see pictures of him on TMZ like every day and he looks insane. So.
I never watched TMZ. I'll take your word for it.
You know what's crazy? It's like you always hear him too about he's gone insane and he's threatened his hot 22-year-old girlfriend who's from Russia. And I'm like, who in the hell are these women who don't realize that this is what's going to happen?
Mail order brides.
Ew, they haven't been here long enough to get it.
Yeah, I thought he was world famous.
No way. Mel Gibson, not for you.
Yeah, not at all. So, I alluded to it earlier, but Friday the 13th, me and my wife went to go see The Cabin in the Woods. Dude, everybody within the sound of my voice, you must go see this movie. You guys, too, you got to pony up the cash and see this. I'm telling you, man. There has not been a horror movie this good in a long, long time.
How do you guys get away to watch so many movies? Who's watching your kids?
My grandma, who we live with.
Lucky bastard. Because we could never.
You have to deal with living with your grandma, though, if you do it that route. Oh. I mean, it's a trade-off.
We don't have grandmas. They live in different parts of the state. That'd be a long commute.
Yeah, I'm always gonna find ways to go see movies.
That's how we ended up watching.
Yeah, that's fine. But I, you gotta understand. Like my mom used to take us to movies. Like I swear we went to a movie almost every week. Like when I was a kid, we would re-go to movies that we've already seen if there wasn't enough family friends.
I used to watch a lot when I was younger.
Yeah. It's been a constant thing in my life, and it's something I don't want to give up. Like, if I have the money to go to a lot of movies, I'm going to do it. So, I at least see one movie a month.
See, when I lived in Anaconda for a while, the Washoe Theater, it's like a world-famous theater. It's built just like the Rockefeller Center Theater. It's Art Deco. I mean, just gorgeous inside. You can actually Google it online. Just beautiful. It's got like all this gold artwork on the sides. And, so it's pretty cool. It has a balcony in it. I used to go pay the extra quarter to go sit in the balcony. So all together to get in was $1.25. Yes. And then popcorn was $1. Soda was started at 75 cents.
Did you grow up in 1972? What the hell, man?
No, we had a sweet movie theater. It's still that way.
One day,
the prices are still $1.
They came out from the movie, and there were these white parachutes falling down. And they were speaking Cuban and Russian.
Red dot. Anyway.
This one time, the preacher said the dancing was illegal.
You tied in Footloose with Red Dot? I like it. But,
nobody went into fight.
You guys got to see Cabin in the Woods. I'm serious. That good? Like, you told me, Brandon, like, you haven't seen a good horror movie in a long time. Like, this is, like, the best thing I can compare it to, and it's not really a fair comparison, but the closest I can compare it to is, remember when Scream first came out? Like, before they did Scary Movie and all the bad sequels and stuff. Well, when the first one originally came out, like, they had Drew Barrymore was, like, the center of the poster. And like, she gets killed in the opening scene. You're like, what? Like, the star gets killed in the opening scene. And they, like, they basically, like, turned the horror genre on its head. And they, like, told you all... They basically dissected every rule of a horror movie and then let everybody know it. And then, like, it kind of played with it a little bit. And at the time, it was a really good movie. This is similar to that, but so much better. Like, and I can't... It's hard because I don't know how much to even give away. I don't want to ruin this movie for anybody. But off of what you can see on the trailers, it's basically, like... kind of like a typical horror movie, but some people are manufacturing it. You can tell that much from the trailer. And I don't really want to get into why or the things behind it, but essentially what this movie does is it delivers, like, some classic scares like you're used to in, like, any old horror movie. Then, like, it comments on you, basically, in the audience. It comments on you. Then on top of it, it's got it's basically a horror movie within a horror movie, and it's got science fiction elements to it, and it's funny as hell. Like, it's so many things. It's completely original. There is no way you could ever predict the last 20 minutes, and the last 20 minutes is so awesome. Everybody does a great job. There's tons of celebrities in it. Like, it's really good cast. Joss Whedon wrote it, who's doing the Avengers, the director and writer for the Avengers movie. So I can't recommend this movie highly enough. Like, it is really the best horror movie I've seen in a long, long time. And it works on so many levels. So please, if you're thinking of a movie you want to go see, forget about the Three Stooges.
I really want to see
it. Probably already saw Hunger Games, so go see it. You're gonna go see Three Stooges?
No, I want to see it. I'm not gonna go see it.
Why do you want to see? This was something I actually asked my wife. I was like, because it did really well this weekend, and I'm like, who the hell is the audience for this? Because
Jim Carrey fans. I mean, people who will go see a movie because Jim Carrey's in it.
Yeah, but Jim Carrey hasn't even done that style of a movie in a long, long time.
But they know that when he does that style of movie, it's really good.
I don't know. I could care less about the Stooges.
He's gonna be Moe,
like, as a little older than Araya here, like, watching the Three Stooges with my dad.
So you've got nostalgia built into it.
Yeah.
Not only that, but he's playing Moe, which basically is his Dumb and Dumber character.
No, he's not playing. Jim Carrey's not in this movie.
Yes, he is. No, he's not. I saw the poster for it.
It's not him.
It is him.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Adrian, but it's not Jim Carrey. It's Mr. Smartphone.
We're not settled.
When we went to see Hunger Games, there was a poster up for him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They talked about doing Jim Carrey for a while. It never happened. They actually went through quite a few casts and quite a few directors before this pulled off. I heard that this was in development hell for about 10 years. Dude, you are so wrong on this. You're so wrong. You're crossing your fingers for no reason.
I'm amazed at how fast he's handling his tool.
He wants me to be wrong, so he's looking right away. So, All right, go ahead.
So I was finally got through all the second season of The Walking Dead.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us the answer.
No, I'm not
that good. What'd you think?
I was kind of let down.
Oh, why? Because we've been talking about it so much.
No. You know, I don't know. The chick showing up was badass.
Yeah, but it was
the prison.
Well, no, you don't care about it because you don't read the comic book. You have no reason to care about it.
The
only one you read wasn't in the prison. They just find it at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you only get excited about that if you've read the comics. There's no reason to be excited about it if you haven't.
I was glad to see him have a little more zombie action.
A lot more zombie action.
What was
action.
It, too? I heard on Facebook they were talking about it, and he was saying that that was their biggest complaint, was that there wasn't enough zombie action in Season 2, and that that's all going to change in Season 3. And I was like, yes, it is, because I know it's going to...
You could tell when they took that break that they realized they had to amp it up, and so they filmed a bunch of zombies. Like, they ramped it up.
They did the herd first thing.
Yeah. I mean, they went right into it because they realized their mistake. That first season, there's a lot of zombies, except for, I guess, like the sixth episode of the first season, not so much.
The last two episodes, I thought, got kind of slow in the first season.
I'm trying to remember what the second to last one was. Oh, yeah, because they leave whoever off to die and all that. Yeah. The last one I wasn't a huge fan of, but I like that they at least explained what was sort of going on with the CDC. Just something they really didn't think about in the comic books. Because if you're that close to the CDC, you'd probably want to check it out, you know, being in Atlanta and all.
And what was good about it, though, is I was down in Townsend yesterday, just going through there was a little store. I was waiting for somebody down there. And they had a little... it's called Rocky Mountain Supply, and they basically sell like agricultural implements, and they have some fishing stuff and clothes and just different stuff. So I'm poking along, and I go back, and they have in the camping stuff, they have a Gerber knife section.
Oh, the whole, and they had the thing there, the whole set.
They didn't have the set, but they had the big ass machete.
Uh-huh. Adrian actually like dedicated about 10 minutes. to talk about the knives.
You can buy the entire set from Gerber.
The
set that Carl ripped out of that dead guy's head.
Yeah, and you know you see that on TV, but when I like was hold, because it had it in the plastic case, but you could hold the handle, and it's got some weight to it, and you're like, this is a sweet, sweet weapon. It just kind of like drool a little bit, like, because it's got enough weight that if you hit something, it's gonna do some damage.
Yeah,
like I had used other machetes in the past, and they're really lightweight, flimsy kind of things, and they're good for chopping down vegetation, but decapitating zombies, not so much.
Well, to be fair, they never use it to decapitate a zombie. So,
but this one, it's got like a rubberized handle, so you know you're like, yeah, it's the Bear Grylls one. And it's got a rubberized handle with a lanyard on it. So, like, you're not going to lose this sucker. You're like,
it's not going to slip out of your hand.
Get all bloody, and you're going to lose it. This thing's party. It was pretty sweet.
All right, well, we're running long now, so.
Okay, so, officially, Sean Hayes plays Larry. Will Sasso, Curly.
Uh-huh.
Chris Diantopoulos is Mo.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I already knew this one. I tried to tell you. But to your credit, it was Jim Carrey at one point. There was many famous people who were supposed to be in this movie. They've been kicking it around for about 10 years.
Sean Hayes, that's the guy from Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, yeah. The really flamboyant gay guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? Larry?
Larry.
Adrian just did air thumbs ups.
it better be good,
dude. It's not gonna be. Are you kidding me?
Is it in modern times, or is it set back in the times when they were?
I think it's in it looked like it was in modern times to
you
me.
Know, I don't know anything about it.
I know it's the Farley brothers, so I guess if somebody's gonna pull off that movie, they did pick the right people to do it. because they did do Dumb and Dumber at one point.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There's something about Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, they got some good stuff to their credit. So
they do, and actually their last movie is pretty good, even though nobody saw
it. What was it?
The Heartbreak Kid. It's Ben Stiller.
Oh yeah.
That's a really funny underrated comedy.
Where it had that girl got sunburnt real bad.
Nope, that's Along Came Polly, I think.
No. Heartbreak Kid is when he goes down there. He's married the wrong girl.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm getting my Ben Stiller on the beach movies mixed up.
His girl, and he meets up with the girl he should have married.
Yeah. Well, then what happens, though, at the end? Should we do a little spoiler here really quick?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, so spoiler. Like, he basically, like, leaves his girl for another girl, and then you see him do it all over again after he gets married to the other girl. He's a terrible person. Like, they don't hide it in the movie. It takes a while for the audience to come to terms with the fact that Ben Stiller is a horrible person in this. But he's a horrible person. Anyway, I'm Biggs.
I'm Adrian.
I'm Brennan.
Take it easy.